Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:08, and that is Pacific Standard Time, or Summertime, whichever way you want to describe it. And today, I was recording, waiting for the MSCI announcement on China, and they have decided to delay again. So that's probably going to weigh on the stock market a little bit in here, but then it's a question of to what extent it will weigh, because the strong likelihood is that the CSI 300 will continue to be defended around the 3,000 level. That's what we've seen for the last 6 months. So, and certainly the pricing in of this decision, the pricing in was suggesting that there wasn't any great excitement. So perhaps there won't be that much disappointment either. Then, when we look at the stock markets generally, it's perhaps most important to start with Wall Street, where the main indices paired an earlier decline to finish pretty much unchanged, just down very slightly on the day. And that also resulted in the VIX index pulling back a little bit in here today, and it had broken out of what had been an incredibly inert period of time for volatility. Then the majority of European indices were in negative territory, and most of them in excess of 2% on the downside, and not least because we continue to price in volatility in Europe because of this really uncertain period that we're in, it's sort of an interregnum period where we just don't know what's going to happen until we get a decision, and then that decision is going to be on the 23rd, and we'll have a result on the 24th, and today's the 14th, so 10 days from now, and that's even fewer market sessions. Now, the pound today was weaker by in excess of a full cent, and it's right now trading at 141. Now, I think it is instructive to go back and to look at a very long-term chart of the pound, because it has found support in the region of 140, and admittedly it has been below 140 on a couple of occasions, but it has always bounced from around between the area of about 138 through to 140 on every occasion in practically the last 20 years. And it's only been below, significantly below 140 on one occasion, and that was in 1985, which and there was a phenomenal dollar bull market at the time. And it got down to 117. Now, we're not in a situation where there is a phenomenal dollar bull market at present, but rather that there is a great deal of uncertainty about exactly what is going to happen with the UK. But certainly a more cautious attitude has been taken, and not least because of an increasing number of polls suggesting that the Leave campaign is gaining ground and is gaining increasing adherence, and not least from the Sun newspaper. So then we're seeing that people are taking some money off the table, and that there are short positions being increased both in the stock market and in the currency markets. And it's very interesting to contrast the reaction of stocks ahead of this decision with the reaction that we had in China with regard to what could potentially have been a bullish decision. So the market then told us that investors were not pricing in that it was going to happen, but rather now in Europe they are pricing in that we could get a worst case scenario from the perspective of uncertainty. If indeed we get an alternative resolution to this question, then this could well be a sell the rumor, buy the news type of story. And there are oversold conditions developing in currency markets and in the majority of these European indices, and we could have an emphatic buy signal in terms of an upward key day reversal or clear upward dynamics for some of these indices, at least to pull it, to take us back up towards the trend mean, and that could happen as early as next week. So perhaps this isn't the best time to be getting progressively more bearish, but rather to be looking at the market from the perspective of are we going to potentially get an all change moment in here. But between now and then, we can anticipate that there is going to be higher volatility, that there are going to be some wild swings both up and down, and that this is a more risk-off environment until we get some clarity. Now, of course, there are two potential outcomes. And something that I've said on a number of occasions is that this is perhaps a greater test for Europe than it is for the UK. Now, it could result in greater calls from other countries to hold their own referenda to really raise this question. And, of course, the alternative situation is that it might prove a catalyst to drive further integration within the Eurozone. And at the present time, I think it's probably reasonable to conclude that we're not going to get further integration within the Eurozone without an existential crisis. And this might well be the existential crisis that could require, because the value of the European experiment has been lost on in terms of the message for the majority of the Eurozone population. So something to crystallize the benefits and to make a compelling bullish case for further integration, despite the fact that the UK might vote to leave, well, then that is also a potential outcome. That would remove uncertainty from the Eurozone, in which case then stock markets could rally and rally rather spectacularly considering their relative discount. So this is a potential, really is a potential all change moment for stock markets, and it really is worth keeping a close eye. Then in the precious metal markets today, gold was a little bit steadier, silver was a little bit steadier, but again, volatile day, and right now silver is down 4 cents. Holding on to the majority of its gains, and it is worth considering that both gold and silver have rallied pretty impressively over the last couple of weeks, and not least because they've been pricing in some of the risk with regard to the Brexit vote. So there is the potential that they give up some of those gains as we approach the decision, and indeed might give up all of their gains. So then this is not a risk-free environment for precious metals either. When we look at the broader commodity sector, though, what does the Brexit vote really have to do with lean hogs or corn prices or cotton or coffee? Nothing at all. So they really are marching to their own beat. Now, oil prices today are down just about a dollar on WTI, and now WTI is trading at about $47.90, and Brent crude is at about $49.25. So we have now seen a reaction of about $4, and it's been a recurring theme in these audios that a reaction of greater than $6 to $7 would be required to really begin to question the consistency of what has been an incredibly impressive rebound. But that is also something to keep an eye on, because of the 10 best performers on the S&P 500 this year, then I think it's 7 of them are oil related, and I think the best performer is Newmont Mining, which is the only gold miner on the S&P 500, and that's just a great example of just how much the gold mining shares have rallied, and they continue to offer leverage to the gold price in much the same way that silver is doing. So we are back in an environment where the gold shares represent value and an appropriate investment, particularly relative to ETFs. And that is really quite different to the kind of situation that we had in the last particularly bullish time for gold prices. Now, German bunds today were additionally stronger, and their yield went negative. And a very common figure that's been quoted over the last couple of months has been that there are $7.8 trillion of bonds with a negative yield. But I think that that is probably considerably more now, considering that the 10-year bond is a substantial issuance of bonds. So who's to say that it isn't $8 trillion or $8.5 trillion in bonds? And the figure, just to put some real concrete numbers on that, because trillions can become very confusing very quickly, rather that it is in the order of between 40 and 50% of all sovereign bonds are now trading on a negative yield. So this really is silly season, the fact that you can lend money and in the full knowledge that you're not going to get it all back. And that really is just an incredible situation. So if we do in fact live in a capitalist economic system, then that negative yields make an absolute nonsense of it. So that's an inherent contradiction in this market. And then the clear answer is that crowds are incredibly tolerant of contradiction, and the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay liquid, is one of the oldest adages there is in markets now. So, yes, we can identify the contradiction, but there is no sign yet that it is over. So then this continues to represent a momentum move, but it is inherently deflationary when you see that yields on bonds are going negative. And if that is indeed the case, then when is it the central banks are going to wake up and realize that their policies are not creating, are not boosting the credit multiplier the way that they wanted to, that they're actually fomenting deflation rather than inhibiting inflation or trying to promote inflation, which is what their stated aim is. So then are we moving progressively further down the road towards helicopter money? And I think the conclusion has to be that we are moving towards helicopter money. And then if that is indeed the case, this is a corrective phase for stock markets, which could be setting us up for an impressive buying opportunity. So it really is worth watching those risk assets, and assets are the prices of assets that cannot simply be printed into existence, not least the precious metals and potentially property. And regardless of the fact that property is has at least recovered, and in a number of areas, in particular Canada and Australia, price of property is very high indeed. But that's not to say that it cannot go higher if we move into an environment where central banks ramp up their provision of liquidity and simply bypass banks and send money directly to consumers. And that is, this sounds absolutely Pollyanna-ish. It sounds ridiculous. And if we had talked about such a possibility only 3 or 4 years ago, it would have been laughed out of court. But the reality is that is indeed what central banks are beginning to consider. And the fact that their current policies are inherently deflationary would suggest that there is nothing that they're not willing to try in order to achieve their goals. And we're just moving down the menu in terms of what it is they're willing to try. Then when we look at the currency markets, certainly the pound was weaker in here today, but I think it's very interesting when you look at the euro. And personally, when I look at the euro, I can't help thinking that why on earth would the euro be getting progressively firmer? But then I look at the price action, and it looks like a base to me. And if it is a base, then that would suggest that it is unlikely that the Fed is going to be raising interest rates, that we're going to have a very big dollar bull story in the short term, or potentially in a multi-month period of time, because it looks like the euro, it has got base formation characteristics. And if that's the case, then Europe might not be a bad place to be starting to look again. So again, that would also help to support the view that this is a very interesting time to be looking at Europe and potentially whatever comes out of the Brexit vote in the UK. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.